Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving pranams at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. My name is Karuna, and I thank you very much for staying with Morning Glory on May the 28th, 2015. Dear brothers and sisters, I'm away from the studio this week, but I have lined up the second and concluding parts of two fabulous interviews for your listening pleasure this morning. You heard part one of each of these conversations last Thursday on Morning Glory. So first, please enjoy part two of the Learning with Love interview with the brilliant Balvikas alumna, who is a young doctor from Chennai. She has 34 gold medals to her credit for her academic achievement. Recently, she secured the second rank in the AIIMS Delhi post-graduation entrance and will be joining the prestigious AIIMS, which is the All India Institute of Medical Sciences, India's premier teaching hospital, as a junior resident MD, General Medicine. Of course, I'm talking about Dr. P.L. Vidya of Chennai, and I invite you to enjoy this special episode of Learning with Love with her right here, right now. This will be followed by my colleague, Mr. Bishuprushti's Tris with Divinity interview with Mr. Jagannathan of Sri Lanka. Once again, today's episode is the second part. I will also play for you some special musical interludes composed by the team Radio Sai as part of our 90th birthday offerings. And please, don't forget to send us your feedback by email. As always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. Thank you, and Jai Sai Ram. Over now to part two of Learning with Love with Dr. P.L. Vidya. So you were talking about Swami's graceful work, but effort is necessary.
Yes, definitely.
So what's the style of studying? How do you begin when you have like an exam coming up? What steps do you follow?
In school, you know, it's important that we read our lessons every day. This, I think you would have heard from everybody saying that, you know, read your lessons every day.
No, I don't mean a 34 gold medal winner every day. So go ahead and explain it.
Yeah. You know, what's important is at least we have to get familiarized with the portions then and there. You know, at least we know that, you know, such a thing exists on that day when the teacher teaches you, because that's when you're receptive.
So you know, review your notes when you come home?
Yes.
Okay.
You review your notes every day, and then over a period of time, like if you have, you know, few weeks away from your exams, you make sure every once in 2 weeks at least you review your notes, because that's very important for your memory. You know, memory does not come with just reading once. You have to review it every, you know, at a frequent interval, so that it remains in your mind, and you know, your connections are all very stronger. So that helps. And plus, if you have any doubts, I think you just need to go to your teachers. They are there for you to, you know, clear all your doubts. So that's important, because I know a lot of friends who are very scared.
Yeah, you
know,
children hesitate to ask the teachers.
No, but teachers are there for you. They are there to guide you and, you know, to help you when you are in trouble. So I think we need to use that. We need to ask our doubts to our teachers then and there. We need to clear them, you know. And then what's important is on the day of exam, you know, the previous night, it's of course important to review everything, but we need to have good sleep. You know, my mother was very insistent on that. We need to sleep at least at 8 hours, because the next day's, you know, your speed of your writing, your speed of recalling your events, it depends on your good sleep that night. We need to have a good sleep. And then on the day of exam, I remember how I have to, you know, as I already told you, I touch my parents' feet, so that helps. And plus, I used to always pray to Swami before I go. And after I have offered my prayers to Swami, I make sure I don't read anything. Because, you know, you need to have that blank mind before you go for your exam.
Mm-hmm.
Because that helps you to recall, you know, when it's white, when you're in a white board, it helps you to recall your events. Then with all kachra and, you know, when you're already, already in a tense state. You know, you have your exams.
No last minute cramming.
No last minute cramming. Believe me, it doesn't help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever you've already read, at least that you need to recall and do your exam well. That only really helps.
Mm-hmm. And do you pray before you begin the paper?
Yes, I pray. And I make, you know, it might sound a little childish, but even now I make sure Swami is, you know, I keep a place for Swami next to me, and he is the one who's writing the exam.
Okay.
Yes. So
in your mind, you have...
In my mind, I have a place for Swami, and he's writing the exam. And if I have any doubts, you know, I ask him first, and I leave that question, I come back to it when I'm, you know, done with all the others. Seriously. You know, he really helps. You just have to listen to the voice in you. Seriously.
So I hope all our listeners are paying full attention. Remember to keep a spot for Bhagwan next to you and involve him in your answering.
Yes.
Very
good. He is your constant companion.
Of course he is.
Of course he is, right?
But it's nice to hear it from somebody who's actually internalized and made this practice part of their routine. Exam writing is very nice. And to see the results, fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks to Swami. And coming back to Balvikas, you know, I'm very interested because I've learned a lot and I want to share with
Please
all of them.
Do.
I think this is the best way to show my gratitude to Swami. Seriously, he's blessed me with so many things. I'm only at the beginning of my amazing journey with Swami, and he's already blessed me with so many things. And it also reminds me, you know, to Swami says, to whom more is given, more is expected. So I know there's a lot of responsibilities in my hand now to carry forward his message and, you know, to do my part of service, to justify what I've studied and what Swami has made me study, you know.
And you've already joined the Sri Satyasai Mobile Hospital in Chennai.
Yes, Sairam. So yeah, see, we all as Balvika students would have drawn the Sarvadharma symbol, and you know the five cardinal principles has always been Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema and Ahimsa. They are indeed the foundation pillars of all religions of the world, of Swami's mission, and in fact the way of life too. See, scriptures say that, you know, satyo nasti paro dharma, there is no higher virtue than truth. And once you start practicing this, believe me, and I make sure I do that, you know, I make sure I, whatever I say is truth to my conscience. You know, once you start practicing that, you'll realize how easy and how comfortable it is to tell the truth. Because only with falsehood, you know, it builds on. You know, one after another, you need to cover up for your previous lie and all that. So, it actually start to corrupt your mind. It will destroy your peace of mind, and sometimes it can even harm you. You know, once you start in this path of truth, it automatically, you know, it helps you to go into the path of dharma, the right conduct. And Swami, every discourse of his, he emphasizes on right conduct and discipline. Not only to your, you know, day-to-day activities, but also as duties and obligations of a man, be it physical, social, spiritual, to your society, to the country at large. And what automatically follows is peace, you know, the cultivation of forbearance, taking joys and sorrows an equal stride without affecting your mental poise, keeping God's name at your fingertips and attaching yourself only to the Lord, detaching from the rest of the world, daily contemplation and meditation. See, all of these will definitely help you to attain the highest peace and to see God in everything, to love everybody as everything as manifestation of God, and to offer every work of yours as an offering of love. I think that's the way to life, and that's the way of love. You know, Swami always says, I have come to light the lamp of love in your hearts, to see that it shines day by day with added luster. And I think the most common thing that Swami says in all of his discourses, and something that we can see written everywhere around us, something that's written in golden letters right here in Swami's Mahasamadhi, I am sure you have already guessed what I'm referring to, it's love all, serve all. And every time Swami starts his discourse, he says, Prema Swarupalara, embodiments of love. You know, with all said, is it very easy to love all, serve all? Do you think it's easy? I mean,
not
how many of us do we really follow it? Very difficult, right, to love somebody whom we don't like.
Mm.
You know, but actually, Swami, in a very beautiful manner, he taught me that lesson. Let me narrate to you how.
Please.
This was in 2004, in one of the summer course on Indian culture and spirituality that we have in Sundaram.
Mm.
This, just like the one Swami conducts in Parthi or in
White. I believe the Anandpur alumni are involved in...
That, as soon as, you know, we have the... that's a Messengers of Sai summer course.
Okay.
This is another summer course for all the Balvikas children.
Okay.
The Messengers of Sai conducted for youth and the females.
Females.
This one is being conducted just like how Swami conducts in Parthi or Whitefield. We had this one being conducted by the Balvikas gurus and the senior devotees. Mm. you know, who share with us their experiences, you know, teach us all the values, interactive sessions, quizzes, and, you know, very interactive ones. This happens in the month of May. It's a three-day program and it continues to happen even now. So this was during one of the meditation sessions. They were teaching us how to do Jyotir meditation. See, let me just catch a few words on that. See, Jyotir meditation, I think, oh my God, it's a wonderful technique. Every Balvikas children you ask will second me on that. It's like a mental exercise that helps you to increase your power of mind. It helps you to focus. It improves your memory and concentration, you know. I was telling you, it helps in your studies. I used to do that every day. And now whenever I get time, I think the technique has to be learned from your guru, you know, how you have to concentrate on the lamp in front of you and how it helps you to increase your memory power and concentration. So coming back to this session, when we were being taught how to do meditation, we were all comfortably seated in Padmasana with our eyes closed, and this uncle, he was the priest in Sundaram. He was briefing us about the technique, and the technique goes like, you have to concentrate on every part of your body and thank Swami for that. Like, for example, you know, focus on your eyes and say, thank you Swami for giving me the eyes, let me see only good. Thank you Swami for giving me the tongue, let me speak only good, you know, and the like. It goes on. And when he came to the mind, what that uncle said was very surprising. In fact, even shocking. He said, think of one person whom you don't like. You know, wait, did I hear it right? You know, he repeated. And this time he stressed on the words one and don't like. He said, think of one person whom you don't like. See, if you ask me to enumerate the people whom I love or I adore, I might take some time. You know, take some time. But to think of somebody whom you don't like, I think it comes, you know, spontaneously. You know, maybe that's in the top of the list. So did I think of somebody? Yes. You know, that was this girl, my classmate. She was my classmate right from my kindergarten days. And why I didn't like her? See, the reasons and events that I'm going to tell you now may seem very trivial, but the lesson that I learned is profound. So why I didn't like her was because we were the competitors in class. You know, we were the top rankers, and always the higher scores used to sway within, you know, amongst us. That was not the only reason. See, her mother was a senior teacher in the same school that I studied in, and because of which all the other subject teachers used to favor her, used to show partiality towards her. And, you know, I thought that was an advantage to her because of which, and, you know, it's not fair, I thought. That's why I didn't like her. So while all this was going on in my mind, the uncle continued. He said, think of why you don't like that person. Think of the recent fight you had with that person and so on. Oh, you know, I was actually rejoicing. See, Swami is also approving of why I did not like that girl. And but then the rejoice was very short-lived, believe me, because the next statement that Swami said, see, I have to say Swami now, because what that uncle told me was like exactly coming from Swami's voice. You know, Swami was telling me that. You know, Swami said, go to her, tell her I'm sorry and I love you. Swami, I'm telling you, I'm listing you all the reasons why I don't like her, and you want me to go tell her I love you? See, it's not possible, you know, everything is happening in my mind. Swami continued, he said, I am in her. If you hate her, it amounts to hating me. So if you like me, go and tell her I love you. Seriously. Yes, and you know, these were the exact words, and that was like a thunderbolt to me. I did not expect this. There was silence, no thoughts at all after that, just like how I am now. You know, and then I slowly began to digest what Swami said, and I did as he directed. See, everything was going on in my mind.
So you had to apologize in your head or in person?
In head. Everything is happening in my mind. That person is not in front of me. So, you know, I'm telling her everything. I know I'm asking her, I'm sorry and I love you and all that. See, that's what Swami says, you know, whether you like somebody or you don't like, or whether you're happy or you're sad, it's all in your mind. Within that minute, I had actually been, you know, I started loving her, in fact. You know, then the next academic year began, and Swami had completely transformed the way I looked at her, and in fact, everybody else. See, now, in fact, I make my level best to love everybody around, because, you know, I have no other option. Swami is in them. You know, and at the most, I think I have found two ways to do that. One is silence. See, silence is a powerful tool, you know, not to indulge in excessive talk and not to know anybody too much, you know, because, see, silence helps you to measure your words. It helps you to put a lot of thought into every word of yours before you speak. You know, silence actually helps me to love everybody. And the other thing is, you know, not to form any opinion about others. See, only if you, when you start forming opinion, you next, you know, corollary, it comes like whether you like them or you don't like. You know, you just accept them for whoever they are and just move on. If you cannot accept them, just move on. You know, you don't have to form opinion on about them. You know, that's how I'm trying to, you know, follow what Swami has told us, you know, to love all. And then, you know, actually you won't believe we became best friends. And then I even learned that, you know, she is also a Swami's devotee and that her mother had worked in Swami's school before, because of which she had actually got Swami's Pada Namaskaram once. Oh, did I love her very much? Yes. Yes. You know, I started loving. You know,
things were changing very
yes,
quickly.
Yes. And, you know, another thing that I learned was, you know, when you try to connect with people through worldly matters, the friendships don't last. They don't last long. But when Swami is the common factor between us, you know, the bond only gets stronger and purer. Yes. And then there was only healthy competition between us, you know. And coming to competition, it reminds me of what Swami says about excellence. You know, if you ask me what excellence is, you know, we always make this pertinent mistake that, you know, if I consider my excellence in relation to, in comparison to the excellence of others, I'm making a grave mistake. Because Swami says excellence is not competition with others. It's competition with your own self.
Mm-hmm.
Excellence is competition between you today morning, afternoon and night. And if I am not any better, then I have wasted my time. And time is God. Time waste is life waste. See, I have these words very clearly in my mind because something that I repeat every day to myself. You know, and if you have heard Swami's discourses, he'll say, see, excellence is not doing extraordinary things. It's doing ordinary things extraordinarily well. And it's not, it does not lie in doing one thing 100% better. It lies in doing 1,000 things at least 1% better, you know, better than how you were before. So I think, you know, and it can be done, you know, this can be done with the help of, you know, management of your thought, breath and time. And Swami, all of this was taught to me in Balrikas. If you actually go through all your books, you'll see all the exact words in our, you know, Balrikas syllabus books. And, you know, it reminds me, see, Swami, it's because of Swami's abundant grace that I was able to score all these well, you know. Otherwise, it's not. You know, I have the faith that Swami is the doer. It's something like, you know, I try to enjoy completely whatever I do and then leave it to Swami with the faith that he will, you know, give me whatever is right for me at the right time. Because, you know, it's something like, do your best and leave the rest to God. Because, see, Swami has always emphasized on character. See, I think in one of the discourses, Swami himself said, see, the world often declares that knowledge is power. But Swami completely refuted this theory and he said, no, character is power. You know, nothing is more powerful on this earth than one's character. Mm. That's what Balvikas aims at, you know, building your character. You know, that's why if you have gone through the entire course, you'll realize that end of knowledge should be love and end of education should be character. So these are the foundations on which, you know, the entire Balvikas is built on. So, and let me just finish it. I started with Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, and now coming to Ahimsa.
Mm-hmm.
See, Ahimsa Paramo Dharmaha, that's what every faith, every religion tells you, you know, that's the highest duty of man. But this does not apply only to the physical aspect. See, non-violence should be a part of, you know, every day. There should be non-violence in your thought, word and deed. And how did Swami teach me that? See, let me tell you. See, as children, I think you would have seen how children are always attracted towards gossip, making fun of others, you know, bullying them, teasing them. And sometimes you even hurt them, you know, hurt your friends. But that's exactly what Swami does not want us to do. You know, non-violence in thought, word and deed. You know, and see, that's exactly what Swami does not want us to do. You know, he does not want, you see, if at all you can, help others. Otherwise, don't hurt them. That's what he says day in and day out, right? Help ever, hurt never. So, let me tell you how I learned this and how we actually put into practice what we had learned.
Sure.
This was during one of our PT periods, you know, physical activity periods in school. Maybe I was in my 7th or 8th standard. So, in my gang, you know, my group of friends actually got into one such gossip and we were actually making fun of another classmate of ours. But we couldn't take it, you know, me and my friend, I told you, both of us couldn't take it. So we just went to them, you know, my other friends, and told them politely, see, we will go continue playing. You can join us once you're done with your work. But my other friends, you know, they questioned us saying, why wouldn't you join us in this talk? You know, we are only having fun. But, you know, went to them politely and told them, see, when I get back home, I have a diary to be filled in. Today also, I cannot go home and put a tick in front of, did you speak ill of others? So please, you know, excuse us, we'll go start playing. So this one, you know, this
was your Balvika spiritual diary?
Exactly, the spiritual diary. I think it's an amazing, you know, part of your Balvikas. I'm sure you'll know, let me just tell you, it has several entities, like whether you did your regular prayers, like, you know, morning before, morning as soon as you got up, before food, and night before you slept, and did you, were you regular, punctual, did you respect your parents, did you speak ill of others, or did you do good deed every day? There are a lot of entities. See, I think you will accept if I say that even as adults, we try to do something, you know, we'll try to learn a good quality, but we'll follow it for a couple of days or, you know, a week or so. But then after that, you know, the consistency is lost because we haven't made that into our habit. But this, you know, the childhood is a period when you're forming habits. And this spiritual diary actually helps us, you know, to keep a check on our day-to-day actions. It not only helps you to assess your honesty, you know, honesty in filling up the diary, and, you know, you have to go and show to your guru, and she'll assess you every month or something like that and report, you know, to our seniors. But it also helps you to assess your progress, both spiritually and morally. See, Swami, in every discourse of his, he says, I'm sure you would have heard a number of times, and I even know it by heart. See, he says, I am in you, with you, above you, below you, behind you, before you, and all around you. While this statement gives a lot of comfort to you in times of need, this is a very tricky one, trust me. Mm-hmm. Because, see, you have to be careful in every thought, word and deed. Because, you know, Swami is watching you. He knows what you're doing. You can lie to your mother, you can lie to your guru, but not to Swami. You know, that's why, you know, you have to be extra careful about what you see, what you do and what you speak. And that thing you have I have learned from Balvikas. See, because, you know, you're cheating yourself. If you do something wrong, if you're going away from the path that Swami has shown you, you're cheating yourself. You're not cheating anyone else. So that's what Swami has taught us through this Balvikas. And I think the greatest power that any Balvikas child will have, you know, will be naturally endowed with, is the power of discrimination. You know, I have to thank my gurus for this, because, you know, for teaching us what is right, what is wrong, what is truth, what is non-truth, and how we have to follow the inner promptings of the divine, you know, Swami's voice within. See, these qualities, I'm sure, you know, this karma, krodha, lobha, moha, madhamascharya, all of these are your internal enemies that, you know, with time, slowly will try to conquer, you know, imbibing all Swami's teachings. But there are a lot of adversities, a lot of vices around you, you know, in the outside world. And unless you are able to differentiate which is right and which is wrong, it's very difficult. You know, that's the very first step in your path towards right conduct. Something that Swami, you know, believe me, once you start, you know, practicing this discrimination power, finding out which is right, which is wrong, and why I shouldn't do what is wrong, Swami will guide you from within. He will teach you the path. But, you know, once you start practicing all these ideals, you know, what Swami has taught you, once you behave like the good student, you know, the ideal student, it's not very easy, actually. Because, you know, you'll further be put into a lot of challenges, you know, something like testing your endurance. I mean, I face this, I'll tell you. See, when I stick to my principles of, you know, not cheating others, not cheating during exams, always telling the truth, not speaking ill of others, not willing to waste your parents' money, you know, in unwanted stuff and all this, I actually found myself alone during, you know, I actually found myself alone.
Like a loner.
Yeah, alone. I mean, you know.
No, not too many friends.
No, not too many friends. It's like, my friends know that I will not give in to a lot of these activities. Mm. So once or twice, they'll try to convince me. Mm. But the third time, they'll happily start ignoring me. They will not involve me in these wrong activities that they do. Mm. See, you can appreciate me now saying that, see, why did I even bother? Because I was doing what was right. But as a child, as a teenager, that
it's
was
so
very
left
difficult.
Out, yeah.
It's very difficult to face your friends and peer groups like that. See, now I'm really very happy. I know what the truth is. I can understand, and, you know, I have a very clear thinking. But back then, as a child, I went through all this, you know, it's something like a mental trauma. But I have to thank my guru again, because at the right time she enlightened me. Once after the Balvikas classes, I went up to her and I told her everything in my mind. I told her how, auntie, I'm feeling very neglected, you know, how my friends don't seem to accept me, because I'm following all of these principles.
May I ask, who was your guru?
My guru was Sri Renuka Sairam of my Samiti, Last Samiti.
So what did Renuka aunty say?
Yeah, see, I told her everything, you know, how I was being neglected and how I was not being accepted by them. And she had just had one statement, you know, with a smile she replied, "That's when Swami will accept you." That's all she said. Then I shut my mouth, I shut my mind. There was only silence and I had got my answer. See, I am not alone. Swami was with me all the time. You know, there are no doubts at all now. See, Swami is my best friend, my confidant, my constant companion, even my bedfellow in my dreamland and my everything. You know, in fact, if you ask me what's the moral of the story of Balvika's course that I have gone through, I think this enlightenment that, you know, Swami is your everything. Swami is everything for me, seriously. So that's one lesson that I have learned from Balvika's.
Vidya, I feel so humbled listening to you. I just have a few basic mundane questions. Do you spend time on Facebook?
Yes, I do.
How often?
Yes, I do. Facebook is one way of connecting to your friends. Mm. But as long as you know your limits, as long as you know how much you can spend time on that.
By the way, are you on the Radio Sai Facebook page?
Yes, I am.
Good girl.
That's the exact reason. You know, I'm trying to tell you that I'm on Facebook because I'm able to connect with Swami and a lot of other friends.
Very good.
To Swami.
Okay, now do you text and stay in touch with your, are you on your mobile texting? How much time do you spend on that?
It's there now. And I use that to help me. I use that to help me grow better. Like if I have to know something for my friends. Of course, you know, this texting and keeping friends is important because I told you I see Swami in everyone. So when my friends come to me and I try to tell them, you know, see, nobody is perfect. All of us have our own, all of us are not perfect. The thing is, the best thing about Balvika's is it has taught me what my imperfections are. And how I have to constantly work towards correcting them. That's the difference that I found between me and my friends outside in school and other colleges.
You're a very good self-monitor.
Yes. Mm. So that helped me because, see, I have in fact tried telling my friends, you know, about Balvika's.
How do they react?
It doesn't really work. They think that I'm wasting my time. It doesn't, but you know, it doesn't matter. Swami does not want us to do that. See, he knows the right time to bring them. He knows what is the right time for them. He only wants us to follow what he has told. He only wants us to live the way he has asked us to, and that will naturally bring them, right? Isn't that enough? See, Swami, see, I could be called an alumnus based on the grading system of Balvika's, but with Swami is always a learning process. You know, every day, every moment is an evolving process. And in fact, the qualities that I'm right now working on is patience. Patience towards my patients. See, what do you think is the meaning of a doctor? You know, to contrary to what you might come up with, like to heal or to cure, it actually means to teach. You know, to teach your patients, to educate them about your disease, to tell them what's right, what's wrong, tell them how they can cure themselves and how they have to prevent. You know, that's the most important part of a doctor. But it's not very easy, you know. Maybe because, you know, the majority of the people, not all of them, most of them are not receptive. They don't seem to understand. Maybe because of their social or their educational background, they don't. How many ever times you go tell them, you know, don't do this, don't do that, it's not good for you. The next day on rounds, you'll see them doing the exact thing. And it gets quite irritating. You know, see, and then I imagine how Swami should be, you know, Swami's plight is every day he tells us to do the same thing and we still don't follow, and how irritating it should be. But he is all compassionate and personified. See, and then that's when I started analyzing and I said, so maybe I should take this as an opportunity to develop my own patience. And one other message of Swami that makes a lot of sense to me now is that even if you can't oblige, always speak obligingly. This helps a lot, especially when you have to deal with some patients in their, you know, terminally ill conditions and you have to explain to them about their disease and effects.
Vidya, it's so heartening to hear you speak with so much of passion about the lessons you've picked at Balvika's. But modern parents, they have such pressures on their time and they have to take their children for this coaching, Kumon math, Veda math, Bharatanatyam, Mridangam, hockey, soccer, football, all kinds of sports activities, dance class, swim class, and there's so much of pressure on their time and their resources. Why, in your opinion, should they invest these 1.5 to 2 hours every weekend in Balvika's for the child?
See, Balvika's is a treasure chest. See, it's filled with precious gems. pearls, emeralds, rubies, everything in the form of shlokas, Vedas, bhajans, Swami's life and his teachings, the lives of great leaders and saints, Mahabharata, Ramayana, stories of children told by Swami himself. I think that's the best book you can actually, you know, you don't have to read Vedanta and high philosophy to get the answers to your everyday troubles. You just need to read stories for children and you'll have your answer in them. See, all of these, see, children's mind are innocent and children's mind is innocent and pure. And Swami's target is always the best. See, you can help a sapling to grow, but once it becomes a tree, it becomes very difficult. It cannot be guided in its growth. And that's exactly what Swami told. See, I have very few discourses that I have heard live from Swami, and this was one in 2005 when in Children's Festival of Joy, Swami said, if I can quote his own words, "You are now at the stage of childhood, the right age to cultivate sattva guna. The quality of your life at later stages will depend upon the qualities you cultivate now. What is the use of trying to cultivate sattva guna at the fag end of your life when your body refuses to cooperate with you in your sadhana?" Unquote. So this is what Swami said. See, instead of reaching the retirement age and then trying to read the scriptures of Mahabharata, mm-hmm. Ramayana, Swami's teachings and trying to imbibe those values when it is of no use to them, and then, you know, I wish I had known all of this long ago. So instead of whining like that, I think, isn't it wise to say what Swami says, to invest in Balvikas at the right age so that it can be a beautiful, happy, prosperous future? See, children are in the first stage of their long journey of life. Children are sure to get attracted to Balvikas because of all these dramas, you know, singing, the stories, and all the bhajans.
But, you know, nowadays children get only attracted to handheld devices on which they're playing.
I know. And maybe that's why we have all these latest technology to teach them through that also, you know, these days. See, they are sure to be attracted. What I'm trying to say is, as a child, they may not be mature enough to understand the importance of Balvikas at that stage of their life. But believe me, they will really appreciate it once they grow up into adults. Once they start facing the challenges in life, like how me and a lot of my Balvikas friends do. See, all I'm just here as an index case, you know, to tell you about what Balvikas has done to me. But all the Balvikas children out there have excelled in every field of theirs, seriously. So, I think the Balvikas is sure to help you. You know, they will really be grateful to you once they become adults, you know, to parents. See, as a child, even I have preferred to do something else instead of going for Balvikas. See, like maybe going out, watching movies, you know, playing with friends, playing video games and all that. But I think it was because of my mother's insistence. See, it was because of her that me and my brother, we could miss any other class but not Balvikas. We had to go through those classes. So I think parents have the primary responsibility to mold the character of the child. And actually, Swami has made it very easy for them. All they need to do is to give them this educare, you know, called Balvikas to them, and see how Swami will take control. Swami will take charge of your kids, and kids will ever be grateful to you. I think it's in the hands of parents. And, you know, as I told you, see, children will only listen to parents, and children will learn when they see. You know, it's very difficult to make a child, you know, read from a textbook and understand and make, you know, put into practice. But what they see, what they do, they will definitely remember. So that is what Balvikas helps. And I can assure you that this 1.5 hours or 2 hours of Balvikas every week is going to make your child's future bright, definitely. And, you know, and very recently I came across this article that read, if we claim to know God, we have to live, walk, and act as He would. Otherwise, knowing Him is simply quoting the scriptures and worshipping Him. So see, all of us, we all, you know, Swami students, Balvika students, all the devotees and all the alumni, all of us have been indeed very fortunate to have witnessed the divine descent on this earth, walking amongst us, talking to us, transforming us and elevating our souls. So isn't it high time, you know, isn't it high time that we paid our gratitude to Him? I think it's now time for us to change Swami's "my life is my message" to now "our life is His message." Right? So the onus is now on us. It's our responsibility, you know, to carry forward His message and be as He said. Because, you know, Balvikas children of today and tomorrow will look at Swami through us. right? So we have to be that examples, and we have to strive hard to make Swami really proud and happy. Sai Ram.
Vidya Palani Appan, you've left me speechless. I congratulate your parents, your gurus, and most of all Sadhguru Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba for grooming you into such a fine, clear-headed young lady.
Thank you.
And at Radio Sai, we wish you dozens and dozens more gold medals as you go on, and I'm sure you'll pick them along the way. And that's just a small, that's only small change,
yes,
considering the fact the real treasure that you speak of,
yes,
is the one within you.
Yes.
And it's so heartwarming to see that you have recognized that fact at this young age.
Sairam, thanks to Swami. Again, I have no words. It's all because of Swami's divine sankalpa that I'm here, and I've, you know, got the opportunity to speak, and I thank Swami and all of you for giving me this opportunity. Thank you.
Great having you on Learning with Love. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Tune in to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
I had the chance to visit the hospice,
yes,
when,
yes,
I was in Sri Lanka, and I should tell you that the prayer hall, the round prayer hall, which is there, though it's a very tiny structure, but I have to share with you that the day when I stepped into that prayer hall, I just felt so much of healing energy.
Absolutely.
In fact, that morning I was not feeling well. I had just landed in Sri Lanka, and you know, the first morning in Sri Lanka, and I was going there.
Yeah, we took you there.
Yes.
Yes.
But the moment I stepped in the car, I was not feeling all right.
Mm.
But when I set my foot into that space, I really felt so healed. It's really a very beautiful, very,
yes,
blessed place. And of course, the whole thing is in the lap of nature. And it's
a wonderful place, really. Because, I mean, it promotes the unity of faiths also. I mean, patients belonging to different faiths all get go together. And then many of them do sing bhajans now. And you would have noticed, I mean, they are cancer patients.
Yes.
But still, look at them. They are always smiling.
Yes.
Smiling. And many of them, you ask them, would you like to go back home? No.
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 Yes. That we saw. I mean, it was, you never felt that they were all patients. They were all like a family.
Absolutely.
Having a great time.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was a wonderful project Swami gave us, and we are so happy about it. Then, of course, you yourself have spoken about the other national projects,
yeah,
which we have. Many centers are doing their own projects, but at the national level, hospice is one. Then the Satya Sai School in Manipai.
Yes.
Then the children's home in Vavuniya. And then in the eastern province, under the VIP, that's Village Integration Program, we are adopting a village of 25 families, 25 houses. There was no water and sanitation facilities, so we did all that and gave. Now we need to put up four houses for four families in that village. Then we also have now identified two more villages in the Batiklo district. Very, very remote village. In fact, to buy provisions, they had to come walking about 5 to 6 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no bus service, no roads. It's only sort of, you know, I mean, a path sort of thing. So we are trying to sort of improve the livelihood of that village people and promote them to grow their own vegetables at least, because they have to come all that way to a nearby town to buy even vegetables. So that's the next project we have sort of already embarked on. And the other national project we are thinking is to establish an elders home.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sri Lanka population is aging, and many houses, you know, I mean, particularly in the low income group families, there is no space for elders to be looked after there. The income, their family setup is such that they have no people to look after them, because in many cases, both of them go for work, children go to school, the elders are left alone.
Mm.
So we want to start an elders home. Already a Sai devotee, a long-standing devotee, had come forward to donate 1.5 acres of land.
Oh, beautiful.
It's really about within about 10 kilometers from the hospice, between the hospice and Kalambu.
Okay.
So it's very convenient. So we are trying to establish that. And I must say that there are lot of avenues for service in Sri Lanka.
Yes.
Particularly in the conflict affected areas where the government has resettled the people. But their livelihood and their family income and their education, their medical facilities, hospital facilities need further improvement and strengthening. So particularly the nutrition component of the children. So we are addressing our minds on that. In fact, as it is, the Mulativa Center had identified about 150 children from very poor families. And they are giving 1,000 rupees a month for the family for as a nutrition promotion of the children and the people there. And that has become as an incentive for these children to come to the center. And there, these children are now being sort of, you know, exposed to the Satya Sai Education Human Values Program.
Amazing.
And so that is going on. So, of course, I mean, Swami knows he has to find the financial resources for us to do also. Is plenty of avenues for service, not only in that area, Klinochi, Mulativu, Bauni area, but even the rest of the island. There are so many villages which are poor,
yes.
Lack of sanitation facilities, water facilities, drinking water and all
yes,
that.
Yes, and there are a lot of people also so eager to do Swami's work. I mean, that's how you see the Sai movement
absolutely.
So vibrant in Sri Lanka.
Yes.
You have a strong youth force.
Yeah. Then, of course, we have the Institute of Satya Sai Education, which was established in 2002. Sister Lorraine Burrows from Thailand came and opened that. And subsequently, Dr. Artang Jumsai was there, Judah was there. In fact, incidentally, I had the opportunity of visiting the Thailand school when
oh,
I went
nice.
On a double HR scholarship to Bangkok. And so that link was already there. And we sent about 10 Malavikas IHE gurus for the diploma course in Thailand. But unfortunately, many of them are not with us now. Only two of them are there now. So the institute is now doing the training of the gurus, but we have to expand. And in fact, I had a discussion with Dr. Pal Dal last time when I came for the birthday celebrations. And we need, so this conference we are looking forward to get some assistance from them.
This
to start
education
some
conference.
Yeah, education conference. There are about 20 of Sri Lankans have registered to come. And maybe two or three have expressed their inability, but there will be about 17. So, we want to start a certificate course, starting with the Balikas and EHE gurus, and also the teachers of the Satya Sai school, and then, you know, expand it to the others, and ultimately, maybe as soon as possible, start a diploma course. So, we have to build up ourselves first.
Yes.
And so, that's why we are seeking their assistance.
Wonderful. So, there is something happening on the education front. Service is going on.
Absolutely. Service is generally is going on.
Yes.
The Narayana Seva, then, you know, I mean, the village integration programs.
Okay. Yes.
Water project, drinking water project. Bauniya water has a lot of calcium component. So, at the moment, we are in the process of setting up a decalcification plant.
Yes.
Which is again a donation. Of course, it will not cover the whole Bauniya district. But at least it will cover, we want to sort of cover the children's home and the neighboring village,
yes.
Whatever capacity that is available.
Yes.
And whoever who comes there, I mean, we will give it free to them.
Yes.
So that project also we are trying to start.
Wonderful.
So there are so many other good projects.
Yes.
And on the spiritual side also we have had national sort of, you know, spiritual sadhana camps. Where devotees from all over the island came and participated. We had one in Katragama in the south and one in Kokadichola in the east. And in the north, they are having a very good program. Last year, they had declared it as the year of transformation
mm-hmm.
and had a lot of sadhana programs on spirituality. This year, they have declared it as a year of introspection to go
oh,
inward.
Wonderful.
And they used to have, every month, they used to have one full day of sadhanas, Vedas, mantras, that one, this one, Swami's speeches, and study classes, all that.
Yes.
All that. So they are doing all that. So,
amazing.
Of course, I mean, we have about 48 centers and about 42 SDGs. Most of the centers and SDGs are found in the predominantly Tamil-speaking areas of northern and eastern province. So we are trying to sort of, you know, I mean, give the opportunity and privileges for the Sinhala community also.
Yes.
To understand about Swami and his
yes.
So
we'll have to do a lot more programs to involve them.
Yes, yes. So with that intention, I am really brought, with the permission of Dr. Narendranath Reddy, Chairman Prasanthi Council, I have brought two more members to the Central Council from the Sinhala community, brother community, to look into these things and then go. It's a little difficult because it was easy in the North and East, because North and East predominantly Hindu population.
Yes.
So it was easy for us to sort of this thing. But here, the Buddhist clergy is very much revered and respected, and the people of the Buddhist community will only accept whatever the Buddhist clergy says.
Yes.
So there are quite a few Buddhist clergy who are Sai devotees. They have come here.
Yes.
And you would have, I don't know whether you had the occasion to visit one of the Buddhist temples where bhajans are held every Thursday.
Oh, amazing.
So it's coming up. And recently, you were there at the National Education Conference where the
yes.
Deputy Director General was a Buddhist priest, and he came about and he spoke about values. And the National Institute of Education is the policy making body in the education sector. So slowly, slowly we are trying to expand. I hope Swami.
Yes, definitely. I mean, when that sincere passion is there to do His work, I think we will definitely
absolutely,
see
absolutely.
So much of Bhagwan's presence.
Yes.
And but what I want to ask you is, you are now past 75, but you are so active, and you, and it's been like this all these years of your life. Even since the time, since the 80s, you have been so much active in the Satya organization. Where do you get this energy? What motivates you every morning? What is it uppermost in your mind when you get up?
Well, to be frank with you, I mean, every day appears to be a busy day for me because of these involvements. And every day, of course, I mean, as I get up, I used to pray to Swami. Swami, let this day be another day of service to, you know, to do your service. And it doesn't mean that, you know, I mean, I neglect my family. I do whatever I can for my family. At the moment, the family is only myself and my wife, because the children I got married. But then I have two small grandchildren, you know, living close by.
Yes.
They are very fond of us, and then I used to spend a lot of time with them whenever that is possible. Take them to school and things like that. But I keep myself busy all the time. So much so, I mean, I don't have much time to read even, but the Central Council matters takes most of my time. Then the hospice meetings, and then the institute activities and all that keeps me. Maybe it is because I am active like that, I am able to sort of, you know, I mean, move around at this stage.
Yes. It's very nice.
It's Swami's grace.
Absolutely. And can I ask you, you know, after you became a devotee, and before you became a devotee, what were the different things that you saw in yourself that you had not seen before?
Before I became a devotee, when I was, you know, working in the health sector, you see, I was a very emotional character in the sense I used to get angry very fast. Particularly when, if somebody sort of, you know, I mean, finds fault with me and criticizes me, I used to argue with them. And I used to feel very sort of emotional. And sometimes I start shivering. You know.
Emotionally charged up.
Yeah, really. Emotionally this one. But after I came, became a devotee, I could feel that, you know, that ego slowly. It's not that I got rid of my ego. Still there is plenty. But I could feel that, you know, that is going off. And that now I don't get emotionally upset by anything.
Hmm.
Not that people sort of, you know, criticize me. I mean, to be frank,
yeah.
I'm very happy about it and proud about it.
Yes.
And after becoming a devotee, I learned how I could sort of, you know, I mean, I should move with people, recognize them.
Hmm.
In fact, I mean, to tell you one incident, last month I was invited by the Ampara Health Regional Director. You see, I worked in Ampara in 85 to 90, 5 years. But now it's 2014. But they invited me for a function, a farewell function for the provincial director of health services. So the regional director of health services phoned me up and said, "Sir, we want you to come for this function. Please make a presentation to our doctors from the region about attitude towards work, because we find it is declining. The doctors are not behaving how they should behave. The nurses are like that. They all come and do it as a job and then, you know, they go off. That human-to-human touch, which should be there, being a noble profession, is not there. You please come and make a presentation." I said, "Okay," and then this thing. I went there. I never expected, there was a big surprise for me there. The office where I was working when I was regional director of health services has now been converted into a medical office of health's office. And there's a big hall-like thing, much bigger than this, which would accommodate about, say, 200 people. So that is where they had this function. So before, as we approached the entrance, there was a plaque on the wall with a veil hanging. So the regional director said, "Sir, you please unveil this plaque." When I unveiled it, to my surprise, I found the plaque saying, "Dr. Jagannathan's Auditorium."
Oh my God.
It was really surprising me. I never expected this. Dr. Jagannathan's Auditorium. I asked, "Why? Why did you do this? After me, there had been so many regional directors of health service, so many people have served. Why me?"
Yes.
Then they said, "Three reasons, sir. One thing, how you move with people. You never showed any difference between the specialist medical officer and the sanitary laborer. You treated all of them equally. Right? You recognized their services and you treated them equally. You never ignored anybody. The way you behaved and the way you treated them, they were all very happy. And we noticed that. Even after you left umpire and when we were in the head office, we noticed that. Because we could come and talk to you even on the corridor. Whereas we could not go and see the other directors. They had their fixed time to see visitors and all that. For me, of course, there was no fixed time. Anyone could walk into my room. And my policy was that even if they come with certain demands and, you know, aggressively come inside, my policy was when they leave my room, they must smile and go."
Wow.
They must smile and go. And very often it happened. Not that I could accommodate all their requests, but at least they were satisfied and they were happy after seeing me. So he said that was one reason, number one. Number two, you were the first regional director of health service, umpire, when umpire separated from Batiklo, umpire health sector. The third reason, you are the only regional director of health service, umpire, who rose to the top in the department as Director General of Health Services. For these three reasons, we are named this hall. Your name.
Amazing.
Boy, I didn't know what to say. It was really sort of, you know, I mean, a great this thing. So that's sort of, you know, how to sort of deal with people.
Yes.
How to treat people in a human way. I really learned from, you see, by coming here.
Yes.
And how Swami was sort of, you know, moving about amongst the people. How the other side, what is the officers here and the others, how they moved each other.
Yes.
And so that I really learned from after becoming a devotee. And that stood in good stead.
Yes.
For me.
See, not only in the satsya organization, but also in a professional life.
Yes. Yes, certainly.
Yes.
Because when I was given the second, given the extension of Director General of Health Services, I was a little worried because in Sri Lanka, we have a very strong trade union. Doctors trade union was the strongest union in Sri Lanka. You take all the other trade unions, whether even the other sector, the doctors' union is the strongest. If they want, within 1 hour, they can sort of, you know, get all their members to go on strike. And the nurses' union. So I'm a little worried whether the Government Medical Officers Association will accept my extension. So slowly I phoned up and asked the president of the Government Medical Officers Association. There was one doctor, Samarasekhar was there, Ananda Samarasekhar. Ananda, there's a thing like this, minister wants me to continue for 1 year. What do you say? What does the union say? Sir, we are the one who went and prompted this minister to give you an extension. Oh, how happy I was. This is all Swami's work, Ben, because Swami told me, don't go out of Ceylon, you be in Ceylon.
Yes.
I know that he had an agenda for me.
Yes.
And he took me to the top. Yes. Of the
and you had the same attitude, whether it was Sai work or whether it was government work.
Absolutely.
I think that is why you practice. Yes. Those values.
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. For me, as Swami said, I learned from Swami, work is worship. In fact, my wife used to say, sometimes my wife used to cook early in the morning and give me the lunch to take me to the office when I was working in the ministry. And sometimes I, after hours, say office closes at 4:30, I am there till about 7 to do the work. At 5 o'clock I slowly have the lunch and then wash everything and take it back home. I can't take the lunch back home because she will feel very unhappy about it.
Mm.
So work was worship for me, and I'm just sort of, you know, and I enjoyed my work. And you see, as you said in one of your talks in Batiklo, I never had any anticipations or expectations in life.
Mm.
You said,
yes.
Expectations can end up in tears.
Mm.
Acceptance can always bring contentment and happiness.
Yes.
And that exactly what happened in my life when I sort of reflected back after you said that.
Mm.
I never had any anticipation or expectations in life. Sometimes what I did not want to do, I had to do, but I like to do that.
Yes.
I never wanted to be an anesthetist, but somehow I was prompted into that and I did anesthesia. Of course, I had to leave that because I developed some allergic reaction to anesthesia, and that's why I went into the administration side, which I never thought I will do it. But then it took me to the highest position in the department. So it's all Swami's work. So he had an agenda for me.
Yes.
And so I am the one who benefited out of it and
yes.
enjoyed it.
Yes.
Sai Ram, and fortunately all my children were Sai devotees. The third son who was with us here now for the last 1 week, he had gone back to Australia. Very, very strong. Very, very strong. So you're all happy. We are happy family.
Finally, how do you feel his presence now? Post April 2011, of course, you don't have the physical form now, but has that made any difference in your life?
Oh, yes. Just if you have time, I'll relate another one small story.
Sure, please go ahead.
2011, April 24th, when Swami left his physical body. I was going from Colombo to Kalar in the eastern province. Kalar Center was celebrating its anniversary on that day. They invited me to come. So I was going, I passed Batiklo and I was had about 15 minutes drive to go to Kalar. I got a phone call on my mobile. Sai devotee from Trincomalee, you would have met him, Punendran.
Yes.
He called me and said, "Are you doctor? I heard that, you know, Swami has left us and gone. Is that true? You are really in sort of this thing." I said, "No, Buen, I am on my way to Kalar. I'll check with Colombo and then come back to you." And I checked with my deputy, Brother Prabha, and Brother Prabha said, "Yes, uncle, Swami has attained Samadhi and all that." Believe me, it didn't affect me. It didn't affect me at all. Although we have been sort of, you know, I mean, looking Swami's physical form, enjoying it, appreciating it, feeling the darshan, the sparshan and all that and all that. But Swami attaining, Swami leaving his physical body and going off, it didn't make much of a difference within me, to be frank. But up to reaching that center, I was really sort of addressing my mind. Now, what am I going to do? Am I going to tell them, declare them that Swami has left us? Because I knew that they would not have come to know about it, Kalar being a bit of a remote place. I went there. They were singing bhajans and, you know, everything was going on very well. Celebrations was going on very well. And more intensely I could see, because everyone was praying to Swami, "Please Swami, come out of your illness, come out of your illness, sickness, we want you," that sort of thing. Bhajans was going on very well, and after the bhajan there were some talks, and everybody who talked said that, "Don't worry, Swami is coming back, Swami is coming back." The last person to talk was, before me, was another doctor. He said, he was a Christian, he said, "Like Jesus Christ, Swami will definitely come back today or tomorrow. Believe in that." Then, so I was wondering what to tell them. Am I going to declare, "No, Swami has left us"? Then, in my talk, I think it is Swami who prompted me to say these things. I was praying to Swami, "Swami, you have to guide me. You please speak through me," and all that. So I said, avatars come with a mission. When the mission is over, they leave the physical form. And then, you know, but the avataric mission goes on. Rama avatar was like that, Krishna avatar was like that, every avatar was like that. So Swami also has come down with a mission. And when his mission is completed, he might leave his physical body and go off. That doesn't mean that, you know, Swami will leave us and go. And already we feel that Swami is within our heart. So, we don't know when Swami's mission will be over, right? And when he will leave us. It could be 1 year later, it could be few months later, it could be tomorrow, it could be even today. Swami might have completed his mission, avatar mission, set the whole thing for his mission activities to go on, and then he might leave us. But we have to prepare ourselves to accept that. And we must start now, we know that Swami is within us, but now we must start feeling Swami's presence within us. So even if we hear a news to say that Swami has left his physical body, it is not a thing for us to sort of, you know, mourn about and then say, okay, Sai Baba has left us and, you know, now there's, what are we going to do and things like that. No, we have a mission. He has given us a mission to do and we have to continue with that mission. With that, I stopped. But within that time, I heard one or two mobile ringing and the news has come. Then one person got up and came to me while I was talking. "Sir, we heard that Swami has slept quietly. What are we to do? Shall we stop this function, close this and then this thing?" I said, "No, don't do it. Don't do it." And then after everything was over, then the news has spread and the whole crowd has, devotees have come to know. They were not crying, they were not unhappy, they were all this thing, and they said, they came and told me, "You have prepared us to meet this very well." I said, "No, Swami prepared us. He called us country by country during the Patiyatra time. He gave us 10 days to 2 weeks for each country to be with him, understand him."
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So he was really preparing us, and he has been telling us long years ago that there will be a time when you will see only the speck of me, you know, like a small speck, and you know, so he has been preparing it. But then we were so sort of, shall I say, so happy about his physical form, shall I say, enchanted about his physical form, we never addressed our mind over the situation, to the situation when his physical form will not be there, and you know, we'll be left with his avyakta rupa, right?
Yes.
So avyakta rupa is gone and avyakta rupa is there. But still, we found that, you know, soon after Swami left his body, attendance at bhajans in some of the centers dropped. Service activities dropped, but now it is building up because Swami is now giving us visiting cards again in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
Gardens are growing in centers, many centers in Sri Lanka. You put the garden in the morning, by evening it has grown by 1 foot, 1.5 feet,
mm-hmm.
right? As usual, Vipudi is coming in very many places. And in Vatikulo Center recently, our deputy, Brother Prabha, was a witness to that. They had a function and then they were to have lunch, so before having lunch they had taken a plate of lunch and things like that, kept it at Swami's, this one, and they went then took the plate, opened it to see, portion of the rice was not there,
mm-hmm.
portions of the curries were not there, portion of the ulundu vada was not there. Mm-hmm. So Swami is showing his presence by these signs. And now the devotees are becoming more and more convinced Swami is there and is building up. So
amazing. Well, the moment you start feeling him,
yes, absolutely,
the experience becomes very compelling.
Yeah. That's the thing. We all know that, you know, yes. Swami is within us, but the feeling that, yes, Swami is within us,
yes,
and how we should utilize that feeling in our day-to-day activities, and how we sort of, you know, express ourselves, move with the others.
Yes.
That's the most important thing.
Absolutely.
So this is what, in a very, very, very small way, by our own practice, we are trying to sort of, you know, I mean, bring it up.
Wonderful. Right. Thank you very much, sir, for coming. It has really been a very engaging and very uplifting session, because, you know, we ended up saying how Bhagwan is a feel, and your journey to Bhagwan started with that feel. You know, you came to Prashanti and you just saw Bhagwan and something happened within. Because God, as they say, is not a think.
Absolutely.
God is a feel. And as more and more people come into his fold, and when they feel, then after that we don't have to do anything.
Absolutely.
He takes over.
Great.
And that is what we are seeing in Sri Lanka, because I think that once the heart is open, after that everything's just happen automatically. And it's really so beautiful to see the small country so much overflowing with love for Bhagwan, and you're there almost as the head of the organization there, being so fortunate to participate in this and be a part of this and be the Lord's instrument. Thank you so much for coming to the studios and giving your precious time and sharing this beautiful journey with all our listeners.
Thank you very much, Brother Bishu. On behalf of the Central Council and the Sai devotees in Sri Lanka, I am very grateful and thankful to you. And I know this is also Swami's, this one without Swami's, nothing will happen for this wonderful opportunity you have given to me to come to Radio Sai and share some of my thoughts and feelings on this one. I hope Swami will be with us in Sri Lanka. And as I said, there are lots and lots of avenues for service and other spiritual activities in Sri Lanka. Swami, we are praying to Swami to find a way to do this. Manpower is there. Manpower resource is there. We have a very vibrant, enthusiastic, energetic youth wing.
Yes.
And which became more stronger after your visit, I won't say.
Oh my God.
Definitely, after your visit.
His grace.
So they are doing a lot of work on their own spiritual activities, their own service activities, study circles, that one, this one. And no center can have a function or ceremony successfully without the participation of the youth. They are doing very much.
Amazing.
Better. And they hope that generation is coming up to take over.
Yes, wonderful, sir. Thank you so much. And we only pray to Bhagwan that this ocean of Sai love in Sri Lanka only increases and comes to a point where you find every inch of this island reverberating with his name and his love. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.
Thank you so much, Sai Ram.
Prema Swarup Lara.
Happy, 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 be happy. Happy, happy, make others happy. All will be happy. God will be happy.
take my love. Let it flow in fullness of devotion to thee.
The 90th year of Bhagwan Baba's divine advent is here. What are you planning to offer at his lotus feet? How about a gift wrapped in red? If you wish to partner with the Sai Healthcare to save a precious life, please take the time to donate blood at the Sri Satya Sai Super Specialty Hospital whenever you are visiting Puttaparthi. The blood bank is open Monday through Saturday, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Every single day, patients undergo life-saving procedures here, and a pint of blood can make all the difference. Let's build a favorable blood inventory. If you're a healthy adult, please donate. For more information, please visit psg.sssihms.org.in. Blood, it's in you to give. Please donate. Sai Ram.
Thank you. ಸಲ ಕೊಕ್ಕ ಕುಂತಿ ಪಲ್ಕೆ ಗಾನಿ ನೀಟು ಮಾಡಲ ಕೋಟಿ ನೇರಡಿ ತಡು ನೀಟು ಮಾಡಲ ಕೋಟಿ ನೇರಡಿ ತಡು ಕಡಿಮೆ ಕಡಿಮೆ